So,
yes,
more superhero and comic book films that are not from the MCU era. But first, we're going to do a food heist. Is this what we're doing?
Yes, we are.
So, question. Is this going to be the episode right after the last one we did? Or should we make them put something in between? So that there's like a...
Just to like...
Palate cleanser.
Like,
palate
hey, cleanser. Remember...
Or maybe to make them anticipate this episode.
Everyone's going to be like, next week? Yeah, we should absolutely put something else in there.
Well, we'll leave that to Dan, the audio man, and Adam and team to figure out.
Make another post-it somewhere.
They can just decide.
In a different drawer that says, at the start of the next episode, we need to say, hey, we decided not to talk about this
intentionally delayed
two episodes in a row.
We don't even let them know. No,
okay. We just launch right into it.
I mean, what did we say we were going to do that we just never did?
Oh, well, we did eventually talk about the...
You're facing the other direction from your microphone right now, Dan.
I know.
Is this going in the episode?
Yeah. I thought we'd begun.
So we're talking in what's going to be the next episode about the evil trick we're playing on people from the last episode.
I mean, if they did it, if Adam and team decided to, they might have to now.
Well, okay. I like this plan. What else should we make them do?
Maybe you could have them move the things behind you instead of getting away from your microphone in the middle of a podcast.
I didn't know it was the middle of a podcast. Sounded like a planning meeting.
Does the timer going? The timer's going.
Oh my gosh. We've teleported 2 minutes and 25 seconds into the future.
More time dilation.
Oh, Dan.
Hey, so you want to hear food heist?
Sure, I want to hear a food heist.
So you know how the last two were very questionable? Security was low. There was possibly some inside people.
Yeah.
This one is not that.
Oh.
This one's amazing.
Okay.
So this one was sent to me by someone, and it... takes place in Peru.
Okay.
In Peru, they've had, similar to what we talked about a while ago with olive oil, bad weather and bad harvests have raised the price of lemons and limes through the roof. And so somebody was driving a truck of limes, 208 boxes of limes.
Okay.
Valued at more than 40,000, whatever their currency is. It says S/40,000. I actually did not previously look this up to find out what that means.
All right. I'm just going to pretend.
Yeah.
Worth like, you know, 10 US dollars, like $400,000 in limes. That's what I'm going to pretend.
Okay. $400,000 worth of limes.
Asterisk.
Footnote. And here's the great thing about it. They were being driven through the province of Chiclayo into Ecuador, which is next to Peru. And so they're going along somewhere along that road. And I don't know if this was a mountain road or a jungle road or
it's
a,
Peru,
what it
it's
was.
Both.
Yeah. I like to imagine that it's both.
Yeah.
On a very narrow road along the side of a mountain in the middle of a jungle, somebody stopped the truck and pulled out the dude, tied the driver's hands together, left him on the side of the road, and took off with
$4 million
worth of limes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$4 million. They stole the car itself.
Well, yeah. And that's amazing.
Wow. That's very bold.
Mm-hmm.
That's scarier than a lot of our food heists, right?
Because
as long as you know that the burglar is not actually there to hurt you, then you don't have to be frightened when you see the burglar.
Well, and most of the heists that we do are heists. They are secret thefts in shadows and darkness. This one, no. They showed up with guns and zip ties. And
I mean, when you're stealing $40 million worth of limes, you can afford to be, you know, there with your equipment and probably some helicopters, not mentioned in the article, but, you know, I imagine they were there. I mean, that's a lot of limes.
Well, and even the journalist here is getting into it. Because this sentence says, the conductor was identified as Buenaventura Monja Cerrato, 65 years old, who was abandoned in the darkness of the night. Yeah.
There you are.
So every now and then I think, you know, this would make a pretty good movie. Mm-hmm. This is a nice action movie. We don't often get those.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I mean, it's like 5 minutes of an action movie, but,
okay.
You know.
And then the rest of it might be just playful hijinks.
Playful.
For all we know.
That's right. Whatever they're going to do with their $400 million worth of limes, it's just...
Yeah.
It's like Brewster's Millions. You got to get rid of $400 million worth of limes.
You got to do with those somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to lose all their teeth enamel.
So I have that thing you're saying, teeth enamel. I can't eat citrusy things.
You can't eat citrusy things.
Or my teeth start to hurt.
Really?
Yeah. So I haven't been able to have like sour gumballs since I was a kid because I probably ate way too many of them when I was
lost
young.
Lost all the enamel on your teeth.
Lost all the enamel on my teeth.
Really?
Mm.
The last two times that I have had actual real limes squeezed into a drink or over tacos or something,
mm-hmm.
I have had horrific acid reflux the following day.
Mm. Well, that's probably a sign to...
To maybe stop eating limes?
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. No. I don't think scientifically that that works out.
It's really obvious, but I hadn't realized that until relatively recently, as far as like these things go, there was only one citrus tree, one type of citrus tree. And it's somewhat relatively recently in, you know, human cultivation, transforming that one citrus tree into all the different varieties
the
that
different
we have cultivating. Like
lemons and limes and oranges and grapefruits.
Yep. All coming from this one progenitor of the citrus that have been cultivated by human beings. And the early ones, the rinds were like, you know, an inch thick and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
I should have realized that, but I just hadn't put together that the reason we have all these different fruits is us.
Is us.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Take that, nature.
Yeah. What's probably happened, if I go read up on it better so people might, it's probably like two or three strains that naturally spread and started to change, and then we took those.
Just
and
evolutionarily.
Yeah, but...
So what was the first one? Was it like a lemon?
So
or was it some proto-er fruit?
It's a proto-er fruit from my memory of researching this that we don't have anymore. Because we don't have any of these. We don't have the original corn anymore. That was just this really thick rind that was a citrus that was bred over time and different strains ended up. And we ended up with all these different fruit that all started together as one.
Have you seen paintings of medieval Middle Ages watermelon?
Yes,
I
have.
It's like this huge watermelon-sized thing and then like a couple of inches of actual edible fruit in the middle of it.
Yep, and same thing with corn. Original corn was just like these tiny little kernels on an inch long or 2 inch long ear. So, speaking of ears, Howard the Duck, does he have ears?
I don't know.
He has ear holes. Do they count as ears if there's
Probably.
No ear around them?
Probably.
Because we're going to keep talking about
we're
this
keep
thing.
Talking about superheroes.
Until morale
immediately
improves.
After the previous superhero episode.
Yes.
With no pauses in between.
No shenanigans.
No, we would never do that.
Before that, have you seen Weird Science? It's on our list.
I have not seen Weird Science.
Okay. We can move over Weird Science. I don't know.
It doesn't seem like a superhero movie
from the
little I know about it.
I don't
Is
really...
that Val Kilmer in Weird Science?
I do not remember.
Okay.
So it can't be Val Kilmer because by this time, Val Kilmer was starring in Top Secret and he was like action star. Like jokey, like Top Secret is.
No, I can absolutely see like the journey from Weird Science to Top Secret.
I mean, I could.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. Well, look it up. Is that Val Kilmer?
Looks like it's Anthony Michael Hall,
yeah.
Elin Mitchell Smith, and Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah. Kelly LeBrock. So it's not. Because Weird Science is like high school students.
Him,
he's what I was saying is he's older. He's playing action hero by this time already.
Okay.
He's too old to be.
Wasn't he in a Weird Science-esque movie though? I don't know.
Genius. Oh, Real Genius.
Real
okay.
Genius. That's okay. The one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
So 86, Howard the
Duck.
And also Three Supermen in Santo Domingo.
You say that like it's Spanish, but it's not.
I don't have a good Italian accent.
So Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
I mean...
I'll tell you exactly what I remember about Howard the Duck.
Yeah?
There's some kind of space laser that brings him to Earth.
Yep.
And then there's a scene where he makes out with Ali Sheedy.
Yeah.
That is all I remember.
It's not Ali Sheedy. Look that up.
Are you sure it's not Ali Sheedy?
I am almost 100% sure it's not Ali Sheedy.
If it's Val Kilmer, I'm going to laugh.
It's not Val Kilmer either. Who's in Howard the Duck?
I swear it's Ali Sheedy.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, you're right.
Right.
It's Leah Thompson.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not as good with names as you are, but I knew that was not Ali Sheedy.
Yeah, okay.
So Howard the Duck was terrible. I watched it in the theater when I was 11, and I remember being like, this is just plain awful and weird. I don't like any of this. Why is this made by the guy who made Star Wars?
Yeah, Howard the Duck, even in comics, was specifically by and for very weird people.
Yeah.
Like, there was no misunderstanding about who their audience was, what kind of story they were trying to tell. And then the only possible explanation of why somebody thought they could turn it into the next Superman is just cocaine. I mean, it was 86.
Yeah.
Some Hollywood executive was like, oh, yeah, this stuff's kind of superhero, but also edgy. I don't know.
Like,
oh, the comics were kind of edgy.
No, no,
the
comics
movie's
are.
Not, though.
The movie's like has these nods to being edgy, but it just is dumb or gross instead. It's not actually edgy because Howard's like this nice guy and things. And maybe they give him a line now and then it's like supposed to be sarcastic, but they're treating him
cute
like
little Muppet guy.
Yeah.
And Leah Thompson at her most Ali Sheedy.
Hot take, everybody. Howard the Duck, the movie, was terrible.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
All right. 87, we get Masters of the Universe,
now
which I have seen.
I'm quite fond of Masters of the Universe. It's a terrible movie.
I haven't seen it since 1987.
Is Masters of the Universe Roger Corman? Is that a Roger Corman special?
I think so.
Look that up for me, if you would. It's somebody who had been doing B-movies who kind of wanted to do something more big budget and wasn't quite able to pull it off because it's got this weird mix of ambition and B-movie sensibilities. Like, we can do some stuff in the fantasy world, but we can't do too much because it's too expensive. So he has to come to Earth.
He has to come to Earth.
Because that's the only way we can afford to make this movie.
Look it up, but isn't it like some big, like, actual real legitimate director? And this is how they broke in? Like,
oh, boy,
it's
going to
be Ridley Scott
instead.
Or something
it's
insane
Ridley.
Like that. I mean, it's not actually Ridley Scott, but it's something like that. It's going to be like David
Gary
Finch.
Goddard is the director.
Gary?
Goddard.
Gary Goddard?
Never.
Okay, so it's some random dude no one's ever heard of.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, no offense, Gary Goddard. You made a
look
great
at the producers
movie that we love.
There's a name associated with this that I know, I'm sure, other than Dolph
Lundgren. You know what I like about this show is how prepared we are when we come into it.
David Odell.
Dolph
Lundgren, Frank Langella.
Oh.
Courtney Cox.
It's the Canon Picture Group. That's who it is. It's the Canon Group. It's the Picture Group. I'm not recognizing the names because it's Canon Films. You know Canon Films?
Yeah.
Canon Films, famous B-movie, action movie film studio. It was the film group's attempt to go more mainstream. That's what I'm remembering. Anyway.
Man, I need to rewatch this.
Yeah.
Because that is a murderer's row of like Frank Langella, Billy Barty.
Yep.
Robert Billy Duncan Barty. McNeil, yeah. Courtney Cox.
Billy Barty's
this
good.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Early Courtney Cox. I remember that.
That is bizarre. Is this before or after she did the Bruce Springsteen video?
Oh,
this would be about the same time.
I thought that launched her career, didn't it?
Yeah,
I think it probably did. This is fantastic.
Yeah,
okay.
We need to watch it. It's a ride. They ran out of money and couldn't film the ending. They had to go fight to be able to get an actual ending fight between Skeletor and Dolph Lundgren, He-Man, and they had to film it with like no setting or background, so there's like blue mist in it or something like that, and just had it's amazing. It is also a tragedy, but
And Courtney Cox Bruce Springsteen concert in Minnesota was 1984.
Okay. So there you go.
So this would have been filmed in 86.
All right, so 87 has quite a bit. There's Master of the Universe, RoboCop, Superman 4.
So Superman 4, pretty terrible. RoboCop. Amazing.
Guess who's never seen RoboCop?
Wow, Dan.
Never seen RoboCop.
You're supposed to be the one that knows all the films. RoboCop is super weird. It's by a weirdo director.
I know.
How have you not seen RoboCop? It's like...
Because my parents didn't let me watch rated R movies.
Okay.
And then I just never got around to it.
Have you seen Starship Troopers?
Yes.
Okay. Have
same dude, right?
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven.
Yep. Have you seen Arnold Schwarzenegger on Mars?
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger on Mars? I was about to
say, no, I haven't, but you're talking about Total Recall.
Total Recall, yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
But see, that's one that came out when I was in junior high or whatever.
Okay.
And then I'm like, I need to go see that now that I'm in college and I can do whatever I want.
Yeah,
that
man.
Never was a priority for RoboCop for some reason.
I guess RoboCop came out when I was 12. How did I see RoboCop when I was 12? Because I totally did. Yeah. Okay. Well, RoboCop's great.
I haven't seen the modern RoboCop either.
I have not. I heard it was, but yeah. RoboCop is the best of those weird Verhoeven movies.
Schlocky Verhoeven action
movies. Yep, in my opinion.
Movies. Mm-hmm. Okay. I also like that you almost said RoboCrop because there's a book I want to write. All the corn is mechanized in our dystopian future.
I think we're already there.
We're being attacked.
It's like Blade Runner, you know.
Self-aware wheat.
All the animals are fake and made out of metal. You got to eat your metal corn. You don't get to get real corn. Just, you know,
some poor kid crunching away on it.
Yep. All right. Well, now we start hitting where like comic book movies are the real deal.
Yeah, because they're starting to become plausible. So, 89, we have Batman. Tim Burton Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other stuff. Three more Toxic Avengers movies back to back.
Yep. Troma accidentally made a hit. And so Troma will do what Troma does. But Batman, Tim Burton's Batman.
I loved the crap out of Tim Burton's Batman. Also, it's time for me to take a pill, apparently, because my alarm just went off.
Okay. I hope they're legal.
They are. It's Trazodone.
Excellent.
Okay. So, yeah, So, Batman. 1989, I remember it came out the same summer as Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
mm-hmm.
and I desperately wanted to see both of them.
Both excellent movies.
Yeah. Batman it changed my life. I didn't know that you could do cool things like this in like a real way. Because my experience with Batman and superheroes was primarily the schlocky old stuff, right?
Yep.
And then Batman came out and it was real and it was gritty and it was, I don't know, I was absolutely taken by it.
Yep. I'm there with you. Like I had seen Johnny Depp with
Edward Scissorhands,
which I get it mixed up. I feel like I'm getting that mixed up. I think that this made him able to make that. Am I right? Did I get that backwards?
I think Scissorhands came out after Batman.
So I had seen then Pee-wee.
Beetlejuice. Came before this one, I think, didn't it?
Give me a Tim Burton
Edward
sequence.
Edward Scissorhands was 1990.
Okay. So
the following year.
When was, I know Pee-wee was before. Yeah. I'd seen
Beetlejuice
Pee-wee.
Was 88.
Okay, so I'd seen Pee-wee and Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I knew going into this, it was a director whose stuff I'd liked.
Yeah.
I couldn't have told you why I liked Pee-wee back then, but I could have told you why I liked Beetlejuice.
I have never seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure either.
Hmm. I mean, that's not as much of an oversight. It's a really weird niche movie. I'm way more shocked that you haven't seen RoboCop because I'm like, this is a Dan movie.
I know. I did watch Pee-wee's Playhouse every single Saturday morning.
So Pee-wee's Playhouse is the kids show built off of the movie, which was not a kids show. But it also was not like super adult. It's just Tim Burton being weird, right?
Okay.
I don't even know if that was his screenplay. But regardless, it's super weird and it's actually really good. But Batman, it's like, this weirdo has made a movie that normal people are going to like. Granted, everyone loved Beetlejuice, mm-hmm. but that's what was going through my head when I watched it. And it's fantastic. Yeah.
I remember thinking, Jack Nicholson, I didn't know at the time.
Oh, really?
But Michael Keaton, I had seen like Mr. Mom and all the little kind of rom-com stuff that he had done prior and thought, he is such a weird choice.
Mm.
And then he killed it. He was so good.
Keaton has some real chops, but I mean, he was Beetlejuice. Right?
Yeah.
So,
well, and again, I thought that's so weird. Mm-hmm. The guy from the funny ghost movie is supposed to be the serious Batman. Then he was a serious Batman.
Had you seen Beetlejuice?
I had seen Beetlejuice.
Okay. The funny ghost movie?
It was a very funny ghost movie. Do you not think it's a funny movie?
I mean, it is a funny movie, but he's not a funny ghost. I mean,
well, it's a funny movie about a mean ghost.
Okay, there you go. Funny movie about a mean ghost.
Yeah.
I guess you can then say it's the funny ghost movie. It's just funny, comma, ghost movie, not.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a very loaded question.
Oh, dear.
At what point did you get tired of Tim Burton? The loaded part is I'm assuming that you, like me, eventually got tired of Tim Burton.
So, Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
Maybe not tired of Tim Burton, but that's when I'm... Okay, so when am I actually tired of Tim Burton? I went to Planet of the Apes. I liked it. Big Fish is great. Big Fish is just an amazing film, and it's late Tim Burton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably then Alice in Wonderland, where I'm like, wait, I thought your whole shtick was it was weird and edgy, and you're supposed to, when you become mainstream, go more weird and edgy, not
mainstream.
Disneyify your look. Like when Nightmare Before Christmas came out, which I know is not as much Tim Burton as everyone likes to say it is, but when it came out, like that worked. It's like, oh, Tim Burton's aesthetic plus a Disney film is like off kilter and weird. But by the time we were to Alice in Wonderland, it's just like, no, you know, Banksy would have things to say about this, I guess. So it's right there. It's Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. I'm going to say for me,
mm-hmm.
it was probably Mars Attacks.
Okay. See, Mars Attacks is super weird, though. Like, I'm not tired of him. I watched it. I didn't get it because I didn't watch the 50s serials and the 50s mm-hmm. science fiction things. But I watched it. I'm like, you do you, man. This is so weird. Mm-hmm. So strange and weird. Like, I'm not tired of it at that point. Right? Like... And Big Fish is after that, and...
See, but I didn't like Big Fish.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
It's a boring movie about people I don't care about.
It's a great movie. It's a heartwarming movie.
So dumb. See, at some point, James and the Giant Peach or Mars Attacks or something, mm-hmm. I just realized, oh, you only have like three cool ideas, and you're just endlessly recycling them.
I'm sorry. Big Fish is amazing. I'm not getting over this. I went and saw Kelsey Grammer star in the play in London. I liked it so much.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, except that I'm right.
Let us know in the comments if Dan is right. If Big Fish is a legitimately a heartwarming, well-acted, and well-directed
maybe
movie.
Maybe it was Sleepy Hollow that got me.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow is a good tipping point, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's I'd forgotten that. That's a great
when
tipping point.
He eventually just hit the point where he was parodying himself mm-hmm. over and over. And I have to admit that that's not what Big Fish is.
Nope.
But it just kind of felt like that. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I'm weird. We all know that.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's move on. Darkman?
Darkman, I friggin' loved Darkman.
Great. Darkman's awesome.
This was 1990. We mm-hmm. had a VCR. I taped it off TV,
mm-hmm.
sat there with a remote, took out all the commercials, and then watched it like seven more times.
Yeah.
And then about 15 years afterwards, realized Liam Neeson was in it.
Yeah. Well, his face is covered for most of it. So.
Yeah. I had Darkman. No idea who he was at the time. I love Darkman.
I remember there's something I don't like about Darkman. It's like the ending doesn't quite work or something, but it's been a while since I've seen it. But
yeah. Who directed Darkman?
Adam, give us the Darkman director.
One moment.
Dick Tracy?
Dick Tracy with Ned something.
Ned Warren, Ned Beatty?
No.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
There
Ned
we Beatty go. Ned Beatty is in Superman.
Yeah, not Ned Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty.
That would be a very different movie with Ned Beatty
be as the lead. Dick Tracy mm-hmm. is not a good movie, but it is a movie that I admire incredibly. It's one of these that's like they swung for the fences. They brought in the toppest talent they could think of. This is a movie that has Madonna at the height of her popularity singing a Sondheim song. Like, it's insane.
And the visuals are just striking and
dramatic. The bold colors. It was the first maybe comic movie on our list to kind of try to portray the visual feel of a comic strip.
You're right.
And now that's a lot more common. We see things with, you know, Ang Lee's Hulk and...
But it didn't work in Ang Lee's Hulk, and it didn't work here. It did work in Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
So it does eventually work.
Mayhem.
Yeah. And
people eventually figured out how to make a movie look like a comic book.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy tried, and I have to give it credit for the millions of things it tried. I just don't think it worked.
I'm right there with you. I think you explained it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Do we got a director yet?
Yes, it was directed and co-written by Sam Raimi.
Well, there
Sam
you go.
Sam Raimi.
That's it.
There we go.
You had the read.
That's, I knew it was somebody.
Sam Raimi doing his early attempts at...
Yep, his Darkman. Okay, so a 90 was also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
Loved it to pieces.
You know, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
I like that, even if you can see people's faces in the mouths of the turtles nowadays.
Yeah.
HD did not do that movie favors, but...
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about Turtles at length. Mm-hmm. We probably shouldn't go too far into it, but I was super excited for this movie and not let down. We skipped RoboCop, too.
That's because I've never seen any RoboCop.
Yeah,
movie.
I know. Just point out, RoboCop 2, pretty good.
Pretty good?
Bad in places.
Do you classify RoboCop as a superhero movie?
No, but it must have been from a comic or something to be on this list, right?
I mean, it's kind of a superhero movie.
He kind of is, you're right.
It's like, in a science fiction future, here's the guy that goes around beating up bad guys. That's basically what a superhero is.
And you know,
right?
Like if Cyborg, I mean, he's a superhero.
Somebody made an angsty movie about...
Yeah, DC Cyborg.
Modernity and loss of humanity.
So RoboCop 2, I won't say it's amazing. It has some really great sequences. It's basically the same movie as RoboCop 1, though. So, All right, 1991.
The Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer.
Okay, so the important thing to know is that as a man born in 1977,
yes,
I obviously have a huge crush on Jennifer Connelly.
As you've stated at least 2 dozen times on the podcast.
I mean, it's a defining part of who I am as a person. Rocketeer was one of my favorite movies.
I have not seen it since it came out.
Oh, man.
Do we have to watch it again? I have fond memories of it.
I haven't seen it in, I'm going to say, 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show my kids in the theater, actually, and we just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it holds up.
Does
it's
it?
One I watch pretty regularly. I really enjoy it.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
The score is incredible. I have the score and I've listened to it.
Score is good.
Yeah.
It has Jennifer Connelly,
mm-hmm.
just jaw-droppingly gorgeous Jennifer Connelly. It has, what's his name, James Bond? Tim somebody?
I don't think there's a James Bond story.
Yeah, there's a
Timothy,
James Bond
Timothy,
from Living
oh,
Daylights.
You're right. What's his name?
Timothy.
There's some who call him Tim.
Yeah, whatever his name is, he's James Bond, and he is in this one. Alan Alda is like the kind of old, crusty Q guy, and I could not for the life of me tell you who plays the actual Rocketeer, but it was so fun to see that. It was the first movie I'd seen since Indiana Jones that captured old-school pulp.
Yeah.
Kind of two-fisted, let's punch some Nazis. I love Rocketeer.
So the Rocketeer is Billy Campbell. The James Bond you're talking about is Timothy Dalton.
Dalton.
And I think you said Alan Alda, but...
Is it not Alan?
It's Alan Arkin.
It's Alan Arkin. Thank you.
I get those two mixed up all the time.
Yeah, they should have thought ahead and had different names.
All right, 92. We got to get through 95.
Oh my gosh. To 94. Okay, we got to burn through this. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Is that the one where they go to Japan? Or am I thinking of Karate Kid 2?
Karate Kid 2, they do go to Japan. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 is Turtles in Time.
Oh.
Or something like that. Isn't that the Japan one? Because they go to ancient Japan, don't they?
Oh, you're right. They do. And then we got to see them in samurai armor.
Yeah.
Toxic Crusaders, which I have never seen.
I have not seen. So let's talk a little about
Batman Returns.
Because I think, Turtles in Time. So we got a couple things to talk about. But all right.
Batman Returns. Totally. I loved that one.
It's definitely
the most Danish of all. Danny DeVito as grotesque inhuman penguin absolutely worked. Michelle Pfeiffer as split personality, mentally destroyed Catwoman. Like, every character in Batman Returns is dealing in some way with a crisis of identity. Who am I? What am I? How many lives do I have to lead to rebuild my personality? Like, you couldn't make a more Dan Wells Batman movie if you tried.
So, maybe unpopular opinion. I was kind of mad on two.
I think most people agree with you.
Probably a popular opinion. It went too far. Like, this was like, I felt like Tim Burton's like, oh, they'll do my shtick. Well, I'll just make money. I'll go further on my shtick. And this might be what scared him away from being too weird in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too weird for me. It was just too gross, too odd. The narratives didn't click. Like, why does falling out a window and getting licked by cats give you superpowers? Right? Like,
she didn't have superpowers. They just brought her back to life. That's okay. Different.
Okay. I think she had superpowers. She does some pretty superpowery stuff. Okay. She can suddenly fight. Like, suddenly being able to fight.
Suddenly being able to fight.
Counts as superpowers.
I also think coming back to life is a pretty good superpower.
That's true. Yeah. So, like I bought, okay, you get dumped in a vat of toxic waste and it makes you have a weird smile. But cats lick you back to life. And the whole penguin thing, I'm like, he's so gross.
Oh, I loved him.
I mean, it's a good performance, but he's so gross.
I love how gross he is. Mm. I love seeing his weird deformities. I love watching him eat a fish.
Yeah. Oh, you like, just reminded me of
everything
that scene.
About the penguin. I love Batman Returns so much. And my parents didn't like it. And I remember after watching it, I looked at them like, was your life just changed? Because my life was just changed. This has defined my visual and psychological niche for the rest of my life. And they were both like, that's gross. We don't want you to watch it anymore. So I was shocked that anyone would not love that movie as much as I did.
What about Mask of the Phantasm next year?
I did not see Mask of the Phantasm until I was married.
Oh, yeah?
I was probably 10 years later. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I wish I'd seen it earlier. It is a genuinely great movie.
It is.
It came out at a time when I don't think most Americans took animation seriously as an art form. And so it didn't really get attention. If that same movie came out today, it would be a huge hit.
I saw it because Roger Ebert just gushed over it.
Mm-hmm.
His review of it's just one of his more famous reviews. So,
yeah.
We got to move on. Let's see. Meteor Man. 3, we'll skip Meteor
Super
Man.
Super Mario Brothers.
We got to talk about Super Mario Brothers.
I actually have seen Super Mario Brothers.
I have
Brothers.
Too.
It's awful.
It's terrible. I'm so glad to hear you say that because I thought you were going
you
to secretly
I was
love it.
Say that it was great.
Because there has been a move to redeem the original Super Mario Brothers like there was the Lucas movies. And I just can't buy it. I mean, the casting is fine. And like, but I just cannot take that movie.
So many of their creative decisions were just too left field. It doesn't work as a Super Mario Brothers movie. And it doesn't really work as its own thing either. And I think that the people who are trying to push it, trying to redeem it, are mistaking I enjoy campy movies with this is a good movie.
It's so bad. It's not even good with its own mythology. It just does not make any internal sense. The narrative doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make the decisions are so dumb. Like, how did you make this movie and be like, oh, I've played Super Mario Brothers. You know what? I like Blade Runner. Can we make that
instead?
And
yeah. Well, and I want to be clear here because I know people are going to yell at us. If you like the Super Mario Brothers movie, that's fine. You can like it. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You enjoy a thing and therefore it is a thing you enjoy and that makes it good, right?
And it has great actors.
Yeah.
So like, and it is weird, like better to be weird than bland.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, that's a movie.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. We're going to do 1994.
94. We only got through 10 years.
And then, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, there are some bangers we have to talk about in 94.
94.
Yeah.
The Crow.
Yeah. The Crow.
I've never seen The Crow.
I haven't actually seen The Crow either. I've read the comic. I haven't seen the indie comic back in the days when that didn't happen as often.
Ethan is astounded, by the way. I don't know if you heard that guy.
We're horrified, really.
It is such an Ethan movie.
Horrified because we haven't seen The Crow?
Yeah.
I mean, what's that?
I think we should all watch that at some point.
Boy, the list of things we need to watch at some point is...
Yeah. We could watch The Crow. I'd watch The Crow. All right. We have to talk about the Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
I have not seen it.
I've
gushed over
it. But I know
many things about it, and I know you love it.
I legitimately love it. It's I love it for partially camp reasons. But so we've talked about that. What about The Mask?
Okay, we talked about this at the beginning of the other episode we did. Well, the period of time, which was apparently 94, 93, when everyone was like, hey, you know what's big? All those Batman movies. Let's do our own. And then instead of looking at like Iron Man and Thor and stuff, they said, how about this ancient radio stuff that nobody under the age of 40 has ever heard of? And they thought that would work. And so we got a Mask movie. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Phantom. When's Phantom? Is that the next year?
Phantom of the Opera?
No, the Phantom with what's his bucket?
I have no idea.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, there the is. Phantom okay. in 96. Okay, yeah, the mask is Jim Carrey. That's different.
Yes.
But the Shadow.
Okay, let's talk about the Shadow.
The same year.
We'll just skip the mask.
We'll come back to the mask.
Okay.
But yeah, I assume what happened is that old men running the studios were like, what are kids like these days? I remember superheroes when I was a kid.
I went to The Shadow with my dad, and he loved it so much that the movie is burned into my brain as one of my favorite movies.
Movie-going experiences.
Yes.
Okay.
And I remember shots from that movie, and every one of them I remember just with incredible fondness.
It was a very visually stylistic movie.
I like that movie more than Batman, Tim Burton's Batman.
Really?
And I really like Tim Burton's Batman.
To this day, still.
Going to see your dad's childhood superhero made into a movie and having him the whole
with
time.
With your dad there.
With my dad and having him just love it.
I can see how that would be awesome.
Yeah. So I am very, very fond of that movie.
And of Alec Baldwin's
And of Alec Baldwin. And the poses at the top of stairs and buildings appearing out of nowhere, and who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men. Anyway, The Shadow knows.
That's awesome.
So, just absolutely love that movie.
So, your dad loved The Shadow.
Yes.
But not The Phantom.
Nope.
Because it's the same thing from the same period.
He never talked about The Phantom. It was The Shadow that he listened to.
The Shadow. Because The Shadow was the edgy noir one.
Ah.
And Phantom was white savior in a jungle.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
all right, but we skipped over the mask.
Okay, well, Jim Carrey. With the mask.
Let's talk about the mask.
Oh, great movie.
This year was also Time Cop. We're not going to talk about Time Cop.
I haven't seen Time Cop.
You haven't seen Time Cop?
Yeah, is that Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's as shocking to me as me not seeing RoboCop was.
Why? Van Damme is not a good actor.
But I've seen every Van Damme movie.
Have
ever
you?
Made.
I don't think I've seen any.
Oh my gosh.
Damn, every clip I've seen, I'm like,
okay. Right. Whoever's listening, if Brandon ever gets kidnapped and disappears for like a week, it's not me forcing him to watch the entire film career of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I mean, we are narrative storytellers that try to, you know, look at new ways to tell stories and things. What is more shocking? Not having seen Paul Verhoeven, who bucked the Hollywood trend and did satire without people knowing it, or a guy who's good at kicking people?
Okay, but he is so good at kicking people. He does a stunt in one of his movies where he jumps onto the front of a moving car, runs along the top, and jumps off the back. And it's actually him and it's filmed in real time. It's amazing.
I have seen Chris Farley do the splits and jump up. And it was done in real time, but reversed. And it was really him. Have you seen that?
Is that
Beverly Hills Ninja? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about The Mask now. This will be our final thing we talk about this episode. And there's no superhero movies after 1994, so we'll never do this again.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. We will never sit down and be like, what can we need? We never finished that list. We're not going to do that.
No, that's never going to happen.
No, that's not going
to
happen.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch Darkman again. And that's all that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, we don't have anything to say at all about the Joel Schumacher Batman movies that came after. That's 90, not something that we want
Forever.
To talk about. Now,
oh,
we
Sylvester Stallone's Judge Dredd.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. No.
No, we have nothing to say.
Those don't even
about
count.
Those. So.
Okay, so The Mask. This was really like Jim Carrey's huge breakout movie, wasn't it? He did Ace Ventura
previous to this.
Okay. So he was already big.
Mm-hmm.
But The Mask is when I started taking him seriously because it was awesome. It was watching an actual cartoon character on live action.
Like Ace Ventura felt like watching a Saturday Night Live skit. Like it was
that
true,
just
in living
never
color,
ended.
But it just never ended. And I'm like, ah, it's funny, but it's not. But The Mask was like, wow, this guy can do stuff. And I don't know what is the CG and the animation and what is him.
Yeah.
And really sincerely enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked that they didn't make sequels immediately, that they had to wait so long that they made like the dumb
that they had to make Son of the Mask.
Like, it's the sort of thing that they should have just immediately had him under contract and done another one 2 years later.
Mask was also, I know it was the huge breakout movie for Cameron Diaz.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to be the guy that's just mentioning all the girls that were in all the movies, but I was 18 when this came out. I thought that was a pretty important part of the movie. But I liked The Mask a lot.
How's that, Ben?